Naivatasya krite narato, nakrite neha kashchana, nachasya sarvabhuteshu, kashchit artha vyapashayaha. A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. Purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A self-realized man is no longer obliged to perform any prescribed duty, save and except activities in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not inactivity either, as will be explained in the following verses. A Krishna conscious man does not take shelter of any person, man, or demigod. Whatever he does in Krishna consciousness is sufficient in the discharge of his obligation. Tasmat ashakta satatam karyam karma samachara asakto hyacharam karma paramapnoti purusha. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. For by working without attachment, one attains the supreme. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the devotees, the Supreme is the Personality of Godhead for the devotees, and liberation for the impersonalist. A person, therefore, acting for Krishna or in Krishna consciousness, under proper guidance and without attachment to the result of the work, is certainly making progress toward the supreme goal of life. Arjuna is told that he should fight in the battle of Kurukshetra for the interest of Krishna, because Krishna wanted him to fight. To be a good man or a non-violent man is a personal attachment. But to act on behalf of the Supreme is to act without attachment for the result. That is perfect action of the highest degree, recommended by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Vedic rituals like prescribed sacrifices are performed for purification of impious activities that were performed in the field of sense gratification. But action in Krishna consciousness is transcendental to the reactions of good or evil work. A Krishna conscious person has no attachment for the result, but acts on behalf of Krishna alone. He engages in all kinds of activities, but is completely non-attached. Karmanaiva hisam siddham, sam karmanaiva hisam siddhim, astita janakadhaya, loka sangraham evapi, sampashyan karatumar hasi. Kings such as Janak attain perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. It is my very great pleasure to be amongst you this evening. We have been awaiting this night for a long time. to inaugurate the deity worship in the house of Rishikesh and Mathur Yalila. And I want to sincerely thank them, along with their parents, Radha Krishna Prabhu, Palika Mataji, Ramesh, and Sonia, for making these very beautiful arrangements to serve all the devotees. We are reading from third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, describing this very subject matter, that the true art of living on the path of perfection is to perform one's prescribed duties or work in a spirit of detachment. On the impersonalistic path, because of the intense entanglement that is brought about by any attachments in this world, the goal of life is to negate all of these attachments. And there's nothing higher than complete detachment from everything, from anything. Then we are free from bondage. But that is not what Krishna teaches. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is teaching a much higher platform of transcendentalism than impersonal negation of all temporary attachments. Krishna is teaching complete, absolute attachment to the truth. There is a beautiful verse, being freed from attachment, from egoism, and becoming completely attached to me. Many great souls in the past have attained self-realization and achieved me. So Krishna, in these beautiful verses, is describing the symptom of a self-realized soul. He takes pleasure in the self. Text 17. But for one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self alone, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. And then he goes on in today's verses to describe how a self-realized soul really has no purpose to fulfill in his duty, save and except carrying out the work of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gives example that a devotee is not even attached to the mode of goodness, which is one of the greatest stumbling blocks for pious people. Here in India, especially, because there's not so many people in the mode of goodness outside of India. It's not so many in India anymore either. But some people, they have great attachment to being good, doing good, being philanthropic, helping others. And there's a certain satisfaction. There's a certain inner fulfillment of being in the mode of goodness that can keep us trapped in this material world. Therefore, Krishna is telling us here in Gita, and Prabhupada is elaborating so clearly, that actual detachment is not even attachment to being a good person, but being attached to what Krishna wants us to do. Now, Krishna's saying this, but he revealed it also so many times in the days to come. Bhagavad Gita was spoken just at the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra. And for the next 18 days during that battle, which is described in Mahabharata, so many illustrations of what Krishna was explaining were being revealed to the world. Just like in this sense of what we're speaking today, that actual detachment is doing the will of God, not being attached to being a good person, either in your own eyes or in the eyes of the world. Example, Arjuna. He was fighting a fair battle. He was a Kshatriya, a man of honor. He vowed, I will kill Jayadrath before sunset tomorrow, or I will enter fire. Yudhisthira, why did you say that? Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, even Krishna chastised him. Why did you say that? We're fighting this whole battle for the purpose of Dharma, for the higher cause. Why did you do like this? So anyways, he fought very hard with all of his powers. But when the sun was about to set, there was no chance of him reaching Jayadratha. But Krishna covered the sun and said, now Arjuna, do it. Arjuna did it, surrendered. And then there was Karna. Arjuna had no power to defeat Karna. When Karna's chariot got stuck in the mud, he got off his chariot, he had no weapons, he was holding. Now, no Kshatriya will ever kill a Kshatriya of equal strength in a battle when the person has no weapon and is not prepared. That's outright cheating. Yes? Now, this was the match of all matches. This was not just something on the sidelines that nobody's going to know about. This was the crescendo of the whole Kurukshetra battle. Arjuna fighting Karna. This was... everyone was watching. Yes? If this was on satellite TV, the whole world would be watching. Arjuna fighting Karna. And there it is, with everybody zeroed in on this battle, the battle of all battles. Whoever wins this battle, more or less, is that side is going to win the war. That's the way it was understood. If Arjuna's dead and Karna is victorious, the Kurus win. If Arjuna wins and Karna, their best fighter, is gone, the Pandavas win. There was a lot of expectation and intensity. And Krishna already told Arjuna, for a Kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death. To lose fairly is honorable. To win cheating is a disgrace. Yes? So here they are. They're fighting. And Karna's chariot is stuck in the mud. And he knows that Arjuna is a man of character, a man of integrity, or as explained in this purport, he's a good man. He lives by the law. He lives by the moral principles. So Karna had no hesitation to drop his bow, drop his arrow, get off the chariot, and start pulling the chariot out. And Arjuna was waiting for him to finish. So they would be equal again, and it would be a good fight, and everything would be fair and right. But Krishna told Arjuna, kill him now. What was Arjuna thinking? His honor, his reputation, it's a great soul. Everyone's watching. This is the summit. I'm gonna do this cheating? Shankar said, do it now.
And what did Arjuna do? He understood the culmination of Gita.
Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papyebhyo moksha ishami masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear.
Arjuna had that faith.
Even Karna was saying, Arjuna, you can't do that now. Look at me. And Krishna said, where was your morality? Where was your morality when you tried to strip Draupadi naked in the assembly of people? Where was your morality when you cheated in dice and stole away all the property of the Pandavas? Long list Krishna had. Because he Vedaham Samatitani. He knows everything past, present, and future.
And then there was Yudhisthira. Dronacharya was going mad with Kshatriya enthusiasm. He was so powerful, he was destroying the entire Pandava army. And there was no way they could win the war unless somehow or other they disturbed Drona's enthusiasm. So Krishna told Yudhisthira, tell Drona that his son Ashwatthama is dead. Now, Yudhisthira was a great Vaishnav, but he was famous throughout the whole creation as being a good man. He never spoke a lie. He never thought a lie. Can anyone in Kali Yuga claim that they never even considered in the farthest reaches of their thoughts speaking something that wasn't pure truth? Do you know anyone like that? That was Yudhisthira. He's Dharmaraj. He was Dharmaraj before the battle. And there was some attachment to that. At least it appeared. He said, but Ashwatthama's not dead. How could I speak a lie? So they killed an elephant named Ashwatthama. But even that was misleading. That was... Yudhisthira couldn't do that. But Krishna told him he did it. Because he hesitated, his chariot fell to the ground. Usually it was always little above. He hesitated, but he did it. He surrendered. Sarvadharman parityajya. So does that make Arjuna and Yudhisthira bad? No. They are good. Supremely good. Because God is all good. The moralities of this world are ultimately coming from Krishna. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. All religion is coming from Krishna. And ultimately, the essence and perfect perfection of all religion is not to simply get entangled in the superficial formalities. Not simply the externals are required to follow, but the purpose of following all the external principles, which are sacred, is to please God.
Savai pungsham puro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshachi ahoita ki apratihata yayatma suprasidati.
The supreme occupation is unconditional, unmotivated service to the Lord. That will satisfy self. And great kings like Janak and others, they have illuminated human society by displaying these principles. The spirit of pleasing Krishna. And the faith that by pleasing Krishna, Krishna's way, everyone will benefit. If you water the root of the tree, all parts of the tree are nourished. All parts of the new tree are satisfied. And that is the meaning of bhakti. Yes, charity, philanthropy, being good, These are all the qualities of a devotee. But atheists are sometimes like that too. They're going to take another birth according to their karmas, maybe a little better. But what bhakti is about is we're good, but we're good according to Krishna's will, according to Krishna's direction. Therefore, we are shuddha sattva, pure goodness. That is the transcendental stage. Now, Prabhupada explained, you cannot go to shuddha sattva platform from the modes of passion or ignorance. First, we have to be completely pious on the mode of goodness in order to transcend and enter into shuddha sattva. That means we have to be pious, but from that plane, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no eating, no eating meat, fish or eggs. And being honest, being humble, being nonviolent, being gentle, being detached. These are all qualities of the mode of goodness, which a devotee must cultivate. But then from the mode of goodness, manmana bhavamad bhakto, we must always remember Krishna. We must do the will of Krishna. Sanatana Dharma. That brings us from sattva guna to shuddha sattva. As soon as we offer our hearts to Krishna according to Krishna's will, we are on that platform of transcending the modes of nature. Prabhupada told his disciples, as long as you're following my instructions, you're liberated. You're following the four regulative principles, you're chanting at least 16 rounds every day, you're reading and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam class, Bhagavad Gita, you're performing service throughout the day, you're liberated. But the devotees didn't feel liberated. Devotees thinking, so many desires, past anartas are always calling us back into our previous enjoyments in life. And various distractions are showing us new horizons of enjoyment that we have never experienced. Yes, these are all different temptations that come upon us. Our conditionings of the past, even if they're many, many years ago, sometimes they like ghosts that just try to haunt us. Oh, don't you remember how you enjoyed like this? Don't you remember the shelter and the pleasure that came from this? Come, let's have a reunion. Everyone likes reunions. Let us have a reunion. You've been a devotee 30 years. Let's have a 30-year reunion. Come back and let us enjoy the way we used to enjoy. Come and meet all the people and all the things and all the ways of the past. And then Maya tries to get us in other ways. Oh, you gave up all this material stuff when you were this age, but you don't know what's come about since that time. You never tried this, and you never tried that. This is now the 21st century, Prabhu. There's all new ways of enjoying. How could you be renounced if you've never tasted, if you've never experienced it? It's something you've never had. Come. So many ways. But Krishna consciousness is the art of understanding with conviction that it's pleasing Krishna, that it's the only truth. It's the only thing that's eternal. And it's the only thing that can bring satisfaction to the heart. And it is this essence of remembering Krishna, pleasing Krishna, surrendering to Krishna's will, that is the meaning of bhakti. Bhakti does not mean just practicing devotion to a particular Ishtadev for the purpose of liberation. That is not bhakti. Chanting the names of your Ishtadev, worshipping the deity, doing pious things. Bhakti is surrendering to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's a joyful, wonderful process. And it doesn't matter whether one is a warrior like Arjuna or a brahmachari like Jananivas Prabhu. We have such an example, illustrious example, Chandramali Swami Maharaj. These are very, very great, powerful disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Jananivas Prabhu, he renounced everything of this world. He's from England. He came to India to be a pujari, 1970, living in a little straw hut. Do you want to know something? He's never gone back to England since then. He's never left India since then. He never leaves the deities of Radha Madhava unless there's a very, very specific service that he's doing for the Vaishnava community. Yes? Like being the head pujari for Radha Gopinath Temple. That's detachment. In all these 35 years, never a scandal. There's never even been a whisper that anyone has ever heard that he's doing anything that's not exactly what Prabhupada wanted. Yes? Now that's extraordinary, because in any society, whisper and gossip is very popular. Yes? Even Mayapur. So much gossip and whispering. Yes, Yadubar Prabhu, you have heard? He lived there for some time. Did you ever hear anybody say anything about Jananivas Prabhu that isn't glorification? Incredible. Completely detached from home, from the land of birth, completely detached. Never went back to see relatives or friends or anything of... serving Radha Madhava. He's seeing everyone in Radha Madhava. In Radha Madhava's lotus feet, he's seeing the whole universal creation. Washing those lotus feet of Radha Madhava every day, he's nourishing everything and everyone. Certainly all his family members and ancestors and forefathers and foremothers, they're all going back to the liberated state. And whenever Jananivas Prabhu looks into a mirror at a time when there's not a mirror, he sees Pankajangari Prabhu. Which happens to be his twin brother, who's twin in the not only in form, but in sentiment, in their surrender, in their love, in their devotion. But what is the glory of his devotional service? He's not only just detached himself from all material anartas or attachments, but he's completely blissful all the time. You see when he dances, it's not just arms and legs and bodies and torsos moving. When Prabhu dances, it's the joy of his soul just moving his limbs in all different graceful directions. Yes, it's wonderful. Because he's completely attached to his guru's order and Krishna's desire. That's all. Complete attachment, total attachment, absolute attachment. That is love. Love is not about detachment. Love is about attachment. If you love someone, if you're in love, you're not detached. You're attached. Isn't that what love is about? The more intense the love, the deeper and more consuming that attachment is. In the path of bhakti, to the degree we love Krishna, we become completely detached from everything that is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. We detach ourselves from things simply so that it will not be an impediment to becoming deeper in our attachment to Krishna. He's a resplendent example. And there are so many examples like this. in our own congregation, Grihasthas. Amongst Prabhupada's disciples, we have Tridas Prabhu, Yadubar Prabhu, there's Narsingha Kavacha Prabhu, Indrajumana Swami's wonderful disciple. We have seen Yadubar Prabhu, Tridas Prabhu, we've known them for so many years, steady, faithful. Their life and soul is just attachment to the lotus feet of Prabhupada and Krishna. And willing to live such honorable lives as Grihasthas, detaching themselves from all types of frivolous, sinful activities. And they're happy, just giving Krishna to others. This is the beauty of bhakti. And really, essentially, this is the purpose of the program tonight. This wonderful family is inviting all the Vaishnavas, at least as many as they can fit in this wonderful arrangement, to come to serve them, to receive the blessings from them, in dedicating their home, their family, and their lives to the service of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. That is what this event is about. They did not invite us just to have a nice social function. They invited us to serve us. Because when you serve great souls, you get blessings. You don't get blessings in substance by just demanding blessings. Sometimes people, oh, Swamiji, give me your blessings. Oh, Prabhu, give me your blessings. Oh, Mataji, give me your blessings. And you can, yes, blessings, blessings. Or you may say, oh, I don't know what blessings is. But whatever your line is to respond to such questions, you will do. But what are real blessings? When you serve someone, when you please someone, then Krishna in the heart, the Paramatma in the heart of that devotee, even if the person says, I don't have any blessings, I'm not qualified to give blessings, I'm just a fallen soul, still, because you're pleasing that person through your service attitude, Krishna in the heart, the Paramatma, is manifesting the most invaluable blessings through that person's heart. We get the blessings of Vaishnavas by serving the great souls. This is the perfection of life. Mahat sevam dwaram ahura bhumuktes. The door to the highest perfection of liberation is rendering service to great personalities. When the service is there, the blessings come. If the service is in a proper attitude. And that attitude is genuinely to please, according to the proper directions. So they have called us here to serve us. And what is the blessing that they're hoping for? Is they're putting Gaur Nitai in their house. They're making Gaur Nitai the center of their lives. What does it mean when you put the Lord in your house? It is not just a formality. It's not just a social activity to look popular amongst other devotees. Oh, very nice altar. We're putting the deity in a house to actually give proprietorship of our home, of our family, of our body, of our mind, of our wealth, of all of our activities and skills. This is actually what it means. Krishna, I'm installing you in my home. That means you are master and we are all your servants. We are under your directions. To the degree we have this spirit, to that degree, our home becomes Vaikuntha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur exclaimed in Shuddha Bhakata that when you have this Shuddha Bhakata, when you go home, you see your whole family engaged in service centered around the deity, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas, and the Guru. And what happens? What happens? It's a great miracle. Your house, not just figuratively or imaginatively, but your home actually is transformed into Goloka, the spiritual world. So that is why we have come. And it is a wonderful example. And I would like to just speak from a personal emotion that I'm having at this time. For all grihasthas to look at Madhurya Leela, there is great hope and confidence in the power of Krishna consciousness. She was born a devotee in 1982, the same year I died by taking sannyas. Hare Krishna. And Radha Krishna Prabhu and Palika Mataji, they were initiated the same year, just after her birth. But they were practicing Krishna consciousness, and they brought her up. And Radha Krishna Prabhu and Palika, from that time, they really surrendered their lives. Radha Krishna Prabhu was a professional dentist with his profession. But when his Guru Maharaj called him to the Western world to perform service there as a dentist, he went. But he never got to perform his... It took until the time he had to leave before he got his dentist chair. Yes? Something like that. But he surrendered. The two of them surrendered, and they've been rendering such wonderful service to the Vaishnavas, to their spiritual master, to the deities of Sri Radha Gopinath. And they've raised their child with love and devotion, centered around Krishna. And look at her now. She doesn't know anything except Krishna. She loves Krishna. She's such a dear friend to everyone. Such a wonderful, blissful example of bhakti. She was married to Rishikesh Prabhu. And now the family. Ah, you have come just at this proper time. Rishikesh Prabhu, wonderful devotee. His father and mother, Ramesh, Sonia, have very much imbibed Krishna consciousness and make Krishna the center of their whole house, service to Vaishnavas. It's very beautiful. So I especially want to congratulate Radha Krishna Prabhu and Palika Mataji this evening, because they have actually fulfilled a very essential purpose of household life, to produce a child who loves Krishna. That's perfection, is it not? To produce a child that loves Krishna. It's not easy. It's much easier to go out and build a temple. It's much easier to go out and distribute 1,000 books. But it takes a whole life to make a child fit to love Krishna. So I congratulate.
This gives great hope and great confidence for all grihasthas who have their little children now or are having more and more. Sannyasi is very complicated these days because almost every day there's some baby to be named. Some baby to name, or every day I'm putting some grains in someone's mouth. So definitely there's a lot of little babies coming about, and there's much more to come. So for mothers and fathers, here's a practical example. Yadupar Prabhu is another incredible example. He and his wife have steadily, faithfully served Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, and the Vaishnavas all these years. And his daughter, Amrita, she is just such a pure, gentle heart, so saintly. And please, she's American. She has no Indian genes. But she has bhakti. This is not something that's just hereditary. Born of two American parents, but they imbibed devotion to Krishna beyond all these external considerations. And she simply loves Krishna. She loves devotees. She loves the holy name. And now she's married to a wonderful devotee, Sandeep, and they're doing incredible service together and such example. So yes, there are so many wonderful examples. There are other examples too of people going into various experimental stages of existence. Some people like to take a break and go on a misguided tour of the forest of material existence. Take holiday from... But here are examples when parents are actually humble, gentle, dedicated, sincere, and really love their children and really try to show the highest love to their children by graciously giving them an example of Krishna consciousness. What beautiful children come. And we have come here today to celebrate Gornitai coming into their home. That is my humble message this evening. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol. Now please don't leave, because they have prepared very, very nice prasad for everyone. But before you get to the prasad, you have to pass through the ocean of Sankirtan. And you will reach the shore of Mahaprasad. And the Sankirtan will... You please all raise your arms nicely and dance, and we'll have the first arti for Sri Sri Gaur Nitai. Thank you very, very much.